So, I said that there are a few issues that I wanted to discuss. We'd finished going through the Gemara, and we highlighted how some of these issues, some of the key issues, emerge from the Gemara. So, I want to take up a few of them now. Okay? So let's turn to the question of turf. Okay? Of turf. Right? Whose turf are you cooking on? Right? Of Bishalakum. Right? Does it make a difference whose turf you are in? So, from the Gemara, is there any reason to believe that it would, right? In terms of the pshat of the Gemara, was there anything in the Gemara that implied that it would matter?
If it's about interracial.
Wait, no. Is there anything in the Gemara that implied, not like conceptually, but that implied that it would matter? No, not right off the bat. But good. Mordechai, you're already jumping to the logic of the Gemara. So what's the logic, right? Why might you think that it matters where you're cooking, whether you're in the Jew's house or in the non-Jew's house? Why might that matter? Okay, good, right? So we said that, right, if you think that the problem is either intermarriage, literally, or, intermarriage as a stand-in for having social contacts with them that are too intense, too integrated, too whatever, such that it's too close for comfort, right? It's too close for comfort that it could lead to problems up to and including avodah zarah and intermarriage, even though that's not the davar acher, rishum davar acher in the Gemara, that's already weird things. But let's leave that, right? But chatnut, so if you think it's that, so then what would you think?
Then, if you can,
So what would you have said?
that hypothetically, I left my
Hypothetically, is it better or worse? Right, so that's what I would have said, right? If it's in their house or your house? Right, so their house would be terrible. Very good. So their house would definitely be a problem with Bishalakum, right? If the what was reducible to the why, which, as you guys in my share know, we have to obsess about this all the time, right? You're not in my share, but oh yeah, you are. But you weren't when we did this, or were you? When we talked about why versus what. You're in my share, but I don't think you were when we did this. Okay, so let's review this very, very quickly, but yeah, it was very early, right? But in general, you always have to ask in halacha whether the what is reducible to a why. Right? There's two separate questions, right? One is, why is something the law? And the other is the what reducible to it, right? So the example that I've given 100 times is an example of a why, which a what which is not reducible to a why is don't run a red run a red light, right? Where we all understand the reason you shouldn't run a red light is because, no, that's not why. Why was the law made? We all agree that it's because you might get into a car accident. It helps you control traffic, keeps people safe, etc. But the what of why you should keep it is because it's the law, and therefore, if at 2 a.m. you run a red light and there's a red light camera there, even if if you then come to the judge and say, "But judge, we all agree that the reason that you're not supposed to run a red light is because you might run into another car and it's dangerous." And I looked, and you can look on all the red light cameras, on all the lights that I ran, right? And there wasn't a car for miles around on any side, right? So it wasn't dangerous. So don't you agree that I should be allowed to run the red light? He would say, "Who, you idiot?" Right? That's the why, that's not the what. On the other hand, if I say, eat healthy, right? Eat healthy is a law where the what and the why are the same. And therefore, if I say, eating broccoli is healthy, so. Correct, correct. But someone's allergic to broccoli, you wouldn't say, aha. But objectively speaking, broccoli is healthy. And therefore, even though you have an anaphylactic allergy to broccoli, you should have it. It was like I just finished this morning The Sports Gene, right? Which is a book about searching for. Yes, like genetic things that influence, how much is nature, how much is nurture, how much different things, whatever. Only because I'd read another book by him. And often when I read a book by someone I like, I just read the other books by them. The other book was Range. Right, which is why people with general skills, why generals do well in a specialized world. Darnik suggested it to me.
Why generals do well at what?
In a specialized world. Like people who are good at everything, why they succeed in our specialized world. Anyways. Very interesting. That's why I listened to it. But anyways, but he pointed out that, yeah, there are certain people with certain mutation in their gene, right, that exercise is unhealthy for them, right, because their hearts cannot handle extra oxygen and extra blood rushing through them, and therefore they end up having a heart attack if they exercise intensely. So for most people, exercise is healthy, and for them, the healthiest thing you can do is
not exercise.
So somebody like that, we don't tell them. That was his example, right? Is that when you tell all of society to exercise, if you don't pay attention to genetics, there are a certain amount of people for whom that is deadly rather than healthful, right? Rather than healthy. What? Not intense exercise, right? No, it would kill them. These are athletes that they're... Yeah, anyways, but the point is, so that's a case where the what and the why are the same, right? It's not like, oh, it's formally exercise, formally eat broccoli. It's do what's healthy, which for most people might be exercise and eat broccoli, and for other people, it would not be. So first you have to ask here whether the what is reducible to the why. But the second question is, does the why change, right? I mean, does it make sense? So if it's about chatnut, right? So if it's about chatnut, if it's about intermarriage, so definitely in the goy's house, this is terrible, right? Like you go to the goy's house and his daughter is there, his young, unmarried, good-looking daughter is there, right? Exactly, with the afudzara in the corner, right? And she's there, you know, cooking a, you know, delicious meal, and the swell is and the smell is wafting to the house, and you know. Maybe she's not dressed entirely properly, right? This is not a great situation if you want to avoid problematic interactions between Jews and non-Jews. Now, what about if it's in your house?
You could hypothetically say that the situation is different, even depending on like what food they're eating.
Right. So in your house, we have to wonder. Because on the one hand, you might say it's a worse problem of chatnut because they're in your home. On the other hand, you could say that within your home, you can set boundaries that are harder to set when right than someone else's home, right? We all understand that, like, if I'm their home, right, it's by their rules. I have to be a polite guest. If they're in my home, right, the same way that, like, you know, complete non-Jews, right, like, you know, there's no halachic reason they should wear a kippah in shul. And yet, you know, when I was growing up, whenever, like, politicians would come and speak, right, they thought it was just respectful to wear a kippah, which, to be honest, I don't care if a non-Jew wears a kippah while they're giving a political speech in shul. Yeah, it's a little bit weird. But, right, they're trying to do it because they understand we're in a shul, right? They're trying to conform. So you might say that, look, right, they're going to put away their cross, right? And, you know, correct. And, like, it might, so on the one hand, within your home, there might be more intimacy. But on the other hand, you might be able to set up boundaries. So you might think that when it's in your home, there's less of a problem with chatnut. Right? And the second issue is what? Is the what why? Is that even if you believed what I just said, that in your house you could set up, right? That in your house you could set up, boundaries within your house, you still might say that Bishul Akum is usher because...
We've
made a rule, and that's it. Very good. So this was a discussion on the Baal HaTos. So one of the things you have to know about Masechet Avodah Zarah is that we have, like, endless number of Tosfot on Avodah Zarah. I don't know what it is. No, I know what it is. It was very practical. It was a very practical Masechet. So as you well know, you better know, right? The Baal HaTos vote is a group, that amorphous group that spans over a century, that covers multiple countries, right? It's a very loose term. Correct. And we have many, many different collections of Tosafot material, right? We have many who did, like, so Rabbeinu Tam did not write a running commentary Tosafot on the Gemara, right? He did write a book, Sefer HaYashar, which is a combination of Chidushim and Shuvot, that he's often collected on our, you know, the Tosafot on the page, but he didn't write his own collection, right? The Re, first of all, organized his material, but the Re wrote on some Masechtot. Right, we have Tosafot Riyaz Zaki in some places. I'm not even sure that's all actually the Re. I don't think it is, right? But then we have early collections like Tosafot Shantz and very late collections like Tosafot Rabbeinu Peretz. We have German collections, right? German halachic works, Ravon, Ravya, or Zarua, Mordechai, Rush, Tosafot Rush.
Was Mordechai the one that was like maybe a Tosafot? That's
like towards the end, the very end. Yeah, I got Maimon, right? All those people, right? Myra Mirrenberg, blah, 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 blah.
And it was also Gunn, Mirrenberg,
yeah, all those people, right? But on a, now specifically on Avodah Zarah, for some reason we have many, 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 many collections. I think also the Avodah Zarah, the Tosfot that we have in Avodah Zarah itself, on the Daf, is a German, I believe a German Bala Tosfot, and it's a later Bala Tosfot, and therefore has a very wide range of Shitot quoted. So, Rabbi Tosfot, Lamed Chet, right, this is in the source sheet I sent you, which I sent you with translations to make your life a little bit easier. He quotes a machloket amongst the Balei HaTosfot, and in different Balei HaTosfot, this is quoted the names of different people. Some Rabbi Avraham, in Tosfot it's Avram Bar David, in Tosfot Rimi Barena, which is one of these actually clearer Balei HaTosfot. I have it at home in the like the red collection, if you've ever seen it, the Shittat HaKadmonim. So Tosfot says, Omer HaRav Rabbeinu Avram Bar David. And so Avram ben David said, "Devadai shlakot asu chachamim, kishaovei kochavit." Oh, sorry. Before I read Tosfot, what if you think that bishulakum is about not kosher food? So in his home, definitely problematic. In your home, might be better because maybe you'd say, "Listen, cook, but all the ingredients you need." Right? It's like a cooking show, right? You know. See what you can cook in 60 minutes only with what's in this pantry. You know.
If you fail, I'll yell at you.
Right? So you might think, yeah, so if it's kosher, maybe in your house it would be better. So in Tosfot says as follows. Omer Rav Rabbeinu Avram Bar David. Devadai shlakot asu chachamim. Kisha oved kochavim mevashlam beveto. It's definitely asur in the guy's house. Avok shumovatel beveto shel Yisrael. But if he's in your house, ain lachush lo lechatnut, you don't have to be worried about intermarriage. Now, why not? So presumably he thinks that, right, he buys the argument that you have less boundary issues when it's in your house where you can set the boundaries. And you don't have to be worried that he might feed you not kosher food. Right, now that, dafka to me, makes a lot of sense. Right, meaning, right, we had this discussion with the cleaning woman, right? Is we didn't know what food she put in the microwave, right? But it turned out she doesn't normally bring lunch. She usually just takes leftovers from us, so it didn't mess it up, right? Because it was kosher food, right? That's the point. When it's in our house, you're not bringing in your food from outside. It's much less likely that the non-Jew is going to bring in tray food when he's. Right, it's one thing in his house. Most of the food's not kosher, which is fine. He's not Jewish, right? But therefore, it's likely that, you know, even if, let's say, he tries to... Or you could imagine a very simple situation, right? Like the non-Jew says, oh, you're coming to my house. I want to make sure to cook kosher for you, right? And he gets all the ingredients, right? Like he gets the main thing, and then, right, I'll make a salad, right? It's easy. It's a salad, right? Right? And you're like, well, what could be wrong about a salad? I'll get the pre-checked vegetables, blah, 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 right? And then he says, oh, look, I have red wine vinegar. It has a hechsher on it. And then he takes it, and right? And he puts it in the salad dressing, and now the whole thing is trafe, right? Because it's stam yenam, right? Like, you could see that happening. It's very hard when he's in his house. Right, so... So he's not worried about that. V'lo hodule Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam said, "You're wrong." Divada came and joined Kolchavim Mevashel. Lo chilku klal chachamim ben Yeshuda Yisrael Yeshuda Oved Kolchavim. Rabbeinu Tam says there is no difference between whether it's in your house or in his house. Kila olam yesh lachush shema lo yizaher gam beveitosh Yisrael kum avoideosh oved kolchavim because you. You cannot be convinced, you cannot be sure that he will be careful even in the Jew's home. So, Rabbeinu Tam says in this Tosfot that is Bishul Akum equivalent whether it's in your house or in his house? Yes, but why? Right, sounds like because of kosher issues. But if you look in the Tosfot of Rabbi Yehuda Mibirena, the previous source, yeah. Right, he says... Harav Rabbeinu Avram ben Yehuda Barav Yom Tov Minuchato Kavod Haya, right? So his, right? It was Avram, son of Yehuda, son of Yom Tov, Minuchato Kavod, right? May his rest be an honor, right? Rest in honorable peace or something. Haya Matir Levashel Kderot Shalano Beit Yisrael Yidei Goy. He allowed people cooking in a Jewish home with a non-Jew. Afil below Chite Chitu Yidei Yisrael. Even without the Jew stirring the pot. Why? The time of Mayasru Chachamim Shlakot. So first of all, he says, this is not about kashrut at all. It's simply chatnut. And in the Jewish home, there is no chatnut. Right? He was very convinced by these argument that in your home, again, I'm not so convinced by this. Right? Really? It's less of an intermarriage problem if I'm the one, all right? I'm the, right, the very talented cook, right? And I'm making dishes and my neighbor is coming with his daughters, right? Right? Or Mordechai. Mordechai is the eligible bachelor, and he's an excellent, excellent chef, right. And his non-Jewish neighbor wow. comes for dinner. It's less, that's not going to make his the 22-year-old neighbor, right, fall for him? I don't know. I'm just not totally convinced.
Yeah, this is very much a very
yeah. Well, don't worry. Then you won't have a problem with intermarrying.
No, no.
It's like you will try to indict. It's like I'm very good at microwaving popcorn. Oh, I messed it up, right? Yeah. No. So. Yeah, exactly. What is that burning there? Anyways, Rabbeinu Yaakov lo dulo. Rabbeinu Yaakov said no. Who's Rabbeinu Yaakov? Rabbeinu Tam. Same person. Just Rabbeinu Tam is a nickname. Because Yaakov Ish Tam, Yosef Ohalim. Amongst the Balei Tos, it was totally standard that all the Yaakovs were nicknamed Tam. That's why my daughter, who's named after Rabbeinu Tam, is Tamima. Because we needed a good name to name her after Rabbeinu Tam. And since the whole thing is a nickname to begin with, right? Like it's Rabbeinu Tam's nickname, right? So you can play with it. Yeah, exactly. So Delo. And but what's his but in the Rimi Birena, Rabbeinu Tam's critique is not because you're wrong substantively. It's not a why critique. It's a what to why critique. It's you reducing the what to a why. He says delo plug rabbanon. This is a formal thing. Lo plug. Right. What's lo plug? Correct. We don't need to delo plug rabbanon bishlako to bechol makom aser. It's always aser. And then he says, furthermore, besides, on the level of chatnut, what are you talking about? Right? When Mordechai invites over his neighbor.
That's more indicative of my action.
Right? Right? Remember, this isn't where Mordechai, I misstated the case, not where Mordechai is cooking. It's where Mordechai, who's incapable of cooking, no offense, right? Invites over his neighbor and the same, you know, good, you know, the same attractive, good, you know, talented chef of a 22-year-old woman from next door comes to Mordechai's house and says, hey, Mordechai, puts his hand around his shoulder and says, let me show you how you cook. Let's make this dish together. Let's smell the aromas. Why is that less? Correct. Right, but he's like, how is that less? How is that less like enticing? How is that less likely to lead to intermarriage? Mordechai has now invited her into his home to cook with him. What exactly? Right? Right? He says, right, look what he says. He says, look, the fishio de la mate kama achal. The guy knows how to flavor the foods. V'yavo lidei chatnut b'tov. It will easily lead to intermarriage. Afilu b'beito Yisrael, even in the Jewish home, which I've got to be honest, I totally agree with Rabbeinu Tam on every single plane there. Like, if you think it's about kashrut, so I get it. Guys. Right, if you think it's about kashrut, right, if it's about kashrut, I totally, totally get it. Right? Like, yes, it is less likely that the non-Jew cooking with your ingredients in your home is going to it's less likely they'll cook not kosher. Is it impossible? No. Because they could pick up your wine, they could pick up your vinegar, they could make basar b'chalav, right? There are still things they could do in your home that would make it not kosher. They could hide shellfish in their pocket. Sure, they could do that. Right, but even in your house, it's not so crazy, right? They could easily, right? They could easily be like, oh, right? I'd love to just make you a pizza. And you're like, what could be wrong with pizza? And then they make pizza with meat on it, right? Because that's something people do outside the from world. Okay, Rabbi Yerucham also quotes this. He says, Rabbi Tam Katav, De'ein chiluk ben kizhibish al-goy veito ben bevet Yisrael, akol asur. Whether it's in the Jewish house or non-Jewish house, is asur. Aval ri dodo shel ri. That's confusing, but the ri dodo shel ri. Right? Katav, yes. Shebe Beit Yisrael, ein ba mishum bishul egoyim. He paskin. No, there is no bishul akum in the Jew's house. But lezei iskim arova poskim. Amazingly, Rabbi Yerucham says that was the majority view in his time. That in the Jewish home it is mutter. However, the Rambam in Perush Mishnayot says very clearly, if you bishul davar shalano birshutenu. No, even if cooked our food in our house doesn't matter. And Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbeinu Yosef Paskins, like Rabbeinu Tam, which version of Rabbeinu Tam? The version of Rabbeinu Tam in the Rimi Birena. Right? Not the one we have in Artosov, but the one we have in Rimi Birena of Lo Plug. Okay. Right? V'lo hodul Rabbeinu Tam, d'lo shna b'veit agoy, lo shna b'veit Yisrael, d'lo plug Rabbanan, v'chein nira shidat ha-poskim, sh'asad b'dverem v'lo chilku. This is the majority view in the poskim, because they make no such distinction in Shulchan Aruch. And Kuf Yud Gimel Aleph makes it quite clear. Davar she'eno ne'achal kibo shehu chai. V'gam ol al shulchan milachim l'lafot bo'ed apat. Ol l'parperet she'bishlo oved gilu lehim. Afilu b'chle Yisrael v'ved Yisrael asur mishum bo'le b'shulei oved yiko chavim. Even if it's in the Jewish home, it is still asur. Okay. Now, what about the second question I wanted to deal with? Was the question of servants, right? Or hired help, right? Or nannies, as you know, is likely the case, right? So this is an issue that's brought up in the Chachmei Svarad. Okay? So the Ramban writes as follows, or the Rajva, but it's the Shura Rajva Miyuchos L'Ramban. V'gam b'inyan b'shulei nachrem dati ani she'ein asurin b'shvachot halalu. It is not forbidden with shvachot. Now, what's the problem with the shvachot? Shvachot. What is he talking about? Simple pshat. No. What is a shivcha? What type? No, a slave. Oh. A shivcha. It's a mamasha shivcha. Right? Right? Yeah, but not a maidservant. Yeah, an Eved Kenani. Exactly. Shivcha Kenani. Exactly. That's what he's talking about. Probably. Right? Well, maybe. Who knows? But he says, haknuyot lanu, who are acquired by us. Right? Who we own. Right? So he's probably talking about that, which has not been a... You know, slavery was abolished, if you haven't been paying attention, you know.
In the Union,
where we live, in Israel, in America.
Well, in the North.
I know you're from Texas, but you lost the war, so slavery was forcibly forbidden in Texas.
Slavery is not legal in any place where...
Correct. Yes. Now again, we know that the Jews in the South had Eved Kenani, not the slaves. They treated them, so the frumer ones treated them as Eved Kenani.
I'm relieved.
We have Shtari Shechur, right? That after the Emancipation Proclamation, we have Shtari Shechur. I had a friend when I was in yeshiva who was like seventh generation south of the Mason-Dixon line. And they still have the Shtari Shechor in their family possession from when what? Shtari Shechor?
Yeah.
The legal documents that you need to give to Eved Kenani when you free them.
Oh, really?
Like, he has the documents from when their family freed them after the Emancipation Proclamation. But, no, it is illegal, and, you know, for good reason. So he says, so presumably that's what Ramban is talking about, which would make it a very limited implication. Now, why would you say this? Right? What would be the logic to say that an Eved Kenani or Shivcha Kenani doesn't have an Isser of Bishul Akum? So one would be, maybe there's no problem with Chatnut because they're of a lower social economic status. And, right, as we know, sometimes people dehumanize people who are slaves, right? Now, that's not a good thing because, A, you're not supposed to. B, people often thought of slaves as part of their family and therefore, and, or not as a part of the family, and even if they were, right, meaning, well, one of two reasons this doesn't work out, right? Either they didn't dehumanize them and made them part of the family, or they did dehumanize them and they often raped them. Either way, right, it led to problematic, right? It led to problematic sexual union. We know there are many children, right? So if you're thinking chatnut, either in actual marriage or simply, so one reason you might think that chatnut is not a problem is because they're not in the same socioeconomic place, so you might not think of marrying them. On the other hand, we know that's not true. People, right, did or at least sleep with them, right? And the second is that, right, but the second issue is that they are partially Jewish, right? Eved Kenani and Shivcha Kenani are in a middle status. They're not non-Jews. They're not Jews, right? They're chayiv in some mitzvot, right? So the combination of those factors, plus the fact that they're in your house and they're beholden to you, they might not want to, right? They're not going to mess up on the kashrus issues because, you know, that's not a good idea when you're a slave, right? Yeah, that's what I just told you. Jews, that's what I just told you. That's what I just told you. Yeah. 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 I don't know how many, but there definitely are some. Yeah. Right, because when you get freed, you become a full Jew. It's one of those very interesting historical things. So he says that there is no Bishul Akum with them. The Malacha, the Eved Arel, Malacha the Yisrael, who, the Kani Lo, the Maaseh Yadav. Now, he focuses on the fact that they are acquired to you for their actions, and therefore it's as if you did it. Now, this seems to be simple pshat. Again, it sounds like it's a real shivcha. This is not just someone you hire. It's not just a cook, a chef, right? It sounds like it's a shivcha. Why? Because look at the next line. Umuzra la bishabat min haTorah. He has to keep Shabbat, right? That's definitely not true of your, you know, what? Oh, no, of your non-Jew who you hire for 3 hours to cook you dinner, right? This is a shivcha. V'led bechlal nachrim, and therefore they're not really non-Jews, right? Meaning it's very clear that the Ramban, when he says that there's no problem with Bishul Akum, by a shivcha, he means by someone who is partially Jewish. Right? So there's multiple svaras. They're partially Jewish. They have to keep Shabbat. They keep mitzvot, some mitzvot at least, right? And they're your shivcha. And therefore, what they do is, right, is mitachis to you. Just give me 1 second. Just 1 second. Let me just tell Reagan's first thing. Sure, maybe you'd add what Kobe's saying is that if you wanted to marry her, you could free her. And then as long as you're not a Kohen, you can marry her. Sure. So he says, and he says, that's the minog. The Ra'ah says, Od shamati b'shem Rav Yitzchak bar Manoach. Right, so this is in Bedek Abayit. So the Rajba writes a book on Kashrut called not the Bedek Abayit. The Bedek Abayit is the Ra'ah's commentary on it, which is the Tarat Abayit. Right? The Bedek Abayit is cleaning house. Right? Right, he's like, you wrote the Torah Abayit. I'm going to critique you, and I called Bedek Abayit the right. Yes, so he says, "Oh, Shemayi Shemri Yitzchok Bar Manoach Zal She'ein Din Bishulei Nachrim Ba'Avdo V'Shivkato Had Knuyim Lo Kevan Shemasiv Derech Kfiya Lo Shayech Achai Kruvei Data." He says it's not because they're partially Jewish; it's because since they are coerced, that is not intimate. Right? No one, right? They're coerced. So they're not doing it, right? It's not Mordechai's neighbor who's cooking him a three Michelin star quality meal because, you know, she would like to get to know Mordechai better, right? And we're worried of intermarriage. No, it's because, you know, someone else, not Mordechai, could God, right? Somebody in 1830s Texas, right, is a slave owner, right? It's coercion, right? 1830s, the Republic of Texas. Fine, 1830s, the Republic of Texas. I don't know. Oh, God. Right, Umori, and the Ramban agreed. He says, Aval pi she'en ro'i lasus ken l'chadchila. He says, I don't love it. Right, he said, I'm not even by that. But b'diavad mutar. B'diavad, he's okay with it. The Rajba was asked about this, right? This is all happening in the Beit Midrash of the Ramban, Rajba Ra. Right, Rajba and Ra are both students of the Ramban. Right? So he says, She'ela, Shvachot Eilu HaKnuyot Lanu. The Shvachot, Imdinan Ke'evet Arel Achashem K'nuyot Masa Yideyhem. Vim Yu B'chal K'zerot Dem. So what does he say? B'vadai Arim B'chal K'zerot Magon B'yayin Shal Yisrael. U B'gvino B'chal K'zerot. And he said, look, Yayin, Aser. Gvina, Aser. Cheese, Aser. El Shiyeshmer Adin Azal She'imamu. Al Bishulei Ha'avadim Vashachot Shalan Adir. Some people, Imamu is like, it's a very complicated word to translate. One of my chavrusas many years ago, we did this last year, if you remember, in Shviat, we spent half a shir on what does the word imamu mean? Yes, you did. We spent the time last year in Shviat, and I gave you the makarot from my chavrusa when he gave a shir on what does imamu mean? Some point in Shviat last year, I don't know. Okay, maybe it was earlier. Okay, maybe I did say. So imamu means a whole bunch of different things, but the point is that it's not clear. The note in Tamla Devarim, She'ein Isser Abishol El Mixeret Chatnut. And they said, well, the problem is intermarriage. V'ein Zeret Chatnut V'kar V'adana V'misha Otsim Eretzonu La'avara Yisrael. He says, you only have closeness of mind when you, what? When you cook to become close to your wonderful neighbor, Mordechai. It's not that, like, muffler. Okay. V'eilu. The Elu, Elaiden, Ben Yirtsu, right? They are cooking whether they like it or not. The Ankir Adad, the Chayotzim is Evelok Zeret Chatnut. And therefore, Nisht, Mikom Akam, Ein Dvarem, Bukhuvar, and Ein Venom Somchal Zeh. Right? So now we have three positions. The Ramban said, totally fine. The Ra said, don't love it, Bidiavad, Mutter. And the Rajba said, I don't like it. Elishinogam, Anu Isr, Bivishalem, Afil Bidiavad. Even b'di'evet, I say, nisht. That's right. I say, nisht. The Shari Dura, which is one of the most important works on Yerideya, not in Yerideya, it's earlier than Yerideya, meaning earlier than Shulchan Aruch anyways, later than Zohar, but on the topic. He says, he has a different svara. This is one of those amazing rabbinic moments. He says, I'll tell you a different reason why a shivcha is mutter. Not because the shivcha is mutter, but because chazoka, that a Jew was walking by at some point and flipped the meat. And therefore, I have no idea whether that's true. Chazoka, there was a Jew somewhere in the house who was involved somehow in the meat, and therefore, it's probably fine.
They hide in the
He says, he writes, "Bekamene komot noagin latir ulaniach shvachot goya shivchot goya levashel etzlot bevayit vein yisrael shalech yad betavshel obetzli klal." There are people who are makil without a Jew touching it. Ve'efshar desamche ahadi efshar shalech techem v'nev abayit bekachlim etzrach bishul tliya. They're relying on the fact that it can't be that no Jew actually touched it. No Jew was in the house. Technicalities didn't happen. Yeah, you missed this. We're going to come back to it. Yes, and this was last year. You missed it. Catch up. Right. Yes, right. The point, yes. So what does Shulchan Aruch say? Shulchan Aruch says, Yesh mi shamatir b'shvachot shalanu v'yesh mi sh'osar afil b'diavad. He quotes Baal Deb. Now, what's the problem? As we've seen now, three positions in the Chachmei Sfard. Usher, maybe, probably Usher, but B'dievet okay, and Mutter, right? All of those are assuming that we're dealing with a actual Shivcha. right? They, right? Like a real slave, right? Then you have the Shari Dura. A Shari Dura, does it sound like it's an actual Shivcha? Lav Davka, because like he comes out of the Chazaka that seems incoherent, right? If I was out of the house, definitely we were all out of the house and we left a chef, a private chef, to make sure dinner was ready. But obviously, there really was a Jew there. I'm telling you. There was a Jew. Correct. There's the Shabbos Jew. Right. Right. He was there. Right. No, that a Jew did stir it. I am aware. So what do we... very good. So what do we paskin? Shulchan Aruch says, some say it's Aser, some say it's Mutter. The Ramah says, B'diavad, Yesh L'smocha D'vareh Matirev. Right? And B'diavad, you can be Meikil. Now, what's the problem? B'diavad, you can be Meikil, but what does that mean? Be Meikil for what? If we follow the original sources, at least for all the Chachmei Sfarad, it's B'diavad, you might be able to Meikil for an actual Shivcha, but that would tell you nothing about your private chef or nanny or whatever. Right? Then the Ramah says something interesting. V'afil l'chadchila nogin l'agabo v'et Yisrael, but he says you combine both factors, that it's in the Jewish house and it's a Jewish and it's a Shivcha, then we're Meikil. Now, not because we're Mitzdarif Tukulot of Beit Yisrael and Shivcha, but because of the Shari Dura. Because the Ramah Paskin is like the Shari Dura, that it must be that a Jew stirred it. Really. Even your nanny who's not home. When you're not home. Yeah. No, he's not going this week. No. He asked me about next week, I think, but not this week. Who says, Vahana, so the Shach says, oh, come on. He says, first of all, so what is the Ramachaber talking about? Slaves! We don't have slaves. Baruch Hashem, we don't have slaves, right? Slavery is done for over a century. He says, Baritzot Elu Shein Kenu Elanu Rak Shenisku L'Shana Avinu Mizharan Aleim B'Shabbat. He said, according to the Ramban, Raj Baritva, it's all usher because we're dealing with just hired help. That's not what they're talking about, right? And therefore, he says, even the Ramah, he doesn't think that the Ramah is willing to stambi mekil. Because theoretically, could the Shari Dura's argument apply to even hired help? Yeah, right? If the logic is the Shari Dura's argument, which is that somebody in the house must have started, who cares, right? But the Shach is like, no, it must be that the Ramah is only willing to take the Shari Dura if you combine it with the Ramban, right? Meaning, combined with the fact that the Ramban thinks that Mekar Adin is Mutter, and the Shari Dura says that even if it isn't Mutter, Mekar Adin, you probably started, right? Says, please, b'diavad yishmolcha divrei matirim, lo, that's not b'shvachot shalanu. Lomer dekai yishmolcha demayir mechaber. The Ramah must only have been saying that in the mechaber's case, when the Ramban already says it's mutter, so you add the Shari Dura, the Ramban. Fine. Yesh yishmolcha divrei matirim b'shvachot chavim yisraelu, etc., etc. Right? Nevertheless, despite the fact that if I asked you, does it make any sense to be Meikil in our homes with our nannies, what would you tell me? Based on this, based on the Shach, the answer is no. Leave it to Rebbe Avadia Yosef. And Rebbe Avadia, if you remember, this is only a snippet of Rebbe Avadia, but I can give you the full tshuva. But last time I gave you a full tshuva by Rebbe Avadia, you rebelled. You rebelled against me. But he has a series of tshuvot where he gets very angry because all the Mahadrin, Mena Mahadrin, Mena Mahadrin, Mena Mahadrin restaurants and hotels were calling themselves Mahadrin because, you know, they had some Ashkenazi chumrot. But as we'll get to, we'll have to come back to it. Remember I told you that Ashkenazim are much more Meikil, and Ish Meishim will come back to that, I guess, on Thursday. Okay. Right, is what counts as Jewish participation. So he said, so everything's treif according to Svardim and simple pshat in the Gemara, as opposed to the right Tosfot, which says, well, it's not a problem because we reject the Gemara. We just follow Minhag Bavel, which goes against the Gemara. Yes. You missed a lot. You got to catch up. Come on.
Wait,
so he said... No, we're going to get there. We're going to get there. It's called... The Ramah is making a speech. Wait, just sit down. Let me at least read you the Rav Avadya, and you catch up by next time, okay? Because next time we're actually going to do Eish Me'eish. Fine? So Rav Avadya says, Batei malonu misadot sheish behem mashkiach. Mahem sheish mashkiach ala kashrut v'tamar rabbonu reshina mikomit. V'yesh lam tudat kashrut. Right? It's a kosher place. Biram atabach shem v'edav shilat v'mokom ad ilu hu aravi. But who's cooking there? An Arab. Ela shasakat eish shel tenereya bisho afi anasi Yisrael. But the Jew turns on the flame. Because they're Ashkenazim. Shumashkiach al kashrut. Ein mutar lecho mashkiach al kashrut. Lo chashash yisrael goyim. Are you allowed to rely on it? What does he say? Probably not. But, v'nira lelameid schod ala nogim laka badavar. I could defend it. Why? Kihin et tosvo da-da-da-da. Because Tosvo quotes Rabbi Avram ben David. And in the bite of Yisrael, it's kosher. And he said, did Rabbi Natam say it was okay? No! Lahodolay Rabbi Natam said no! Right? And then he said, and the non-Jew is hired by us, right? And he says, well, I know that not everybody agrees, because, you know, that might not, not everybody agrees in general about Shivcha and Eved, plus, you know, this is not really Shivcha or Eved, but he's like, you know, there are a lot of people who are Megill, even for workers. Right? He says, right? And he quotes the whole Machloket, and he says, right, he quotes the Rajba, he quotes the Rachot Chaim, the Ra'ah, the Ashkenazim, the Torat Chata. Now, the problem is that all these sources seem to be talking about a real Eved, right? Yes? But he quotes that the Rabbi Yosef Chaim, right, in the Rav Palim, in the Ben Ish Chai, he is willing to be Mekil. He quotes the Pri Chadash, who was Machmir, but he says, "Ain't no Mizrami Lemisham. We come back and change. Come back and don't some Chomatir moment. Vazli Israel ain't Limchod Menoaga Umlaakel." He quotes that the Ben Ish Chai was willing to be Mekil even by hired workers. Vilavd, and he quotes also Rav Avram Chalfon, who was Mekil. So now what does he do? He combines them. He says, aha, maybe I wouldn't accept either by themselves, but me'atav and yididon, yesh lanu tamayila lahakel b'tzeirav adam arishon shesom madlik ra'esh. So I have three heterim. It's in the Jewish house. It's hired, which might work according to some people. And then you have the Ramah about what it calls to be involved in the fire. So three kulos. You bring it all back. It might be mutter. But this brings us back to the major question that we still need to deal with is, okay, fine, if you don't accept both of these heterim, right, so the main heter you got to deal with is what does it mean to have Jewish involvement in the fire, but that we're not going to do in 10 minutes, so why don't we hold that off till Thursday? So on Thursday, let's do that, right, and then read the rest of Shulchan Aruch, and we still need to define, then we need to define two more things, Nechal Chai and Ola Shulchan Malachim, right? Which is, right, what does it mean to be on the king's table? Okay? Do the next time? Fine.